2019 is a milestone in American history, in world history. 400 years ago, the first enslaved Africans were sold in the English colonies of the New World, the beginning of slavery, and today the U.S. is still dealing with the massive impact. The world's Roopa Shenoy visited the spot that's recognized as the place where those first enslaved Africans arrived.
It's in Virginia, on a peninsula called Point Comfort. To get to it, you have to take a bridge over a moat. On the other side is a stone wall with a narrow gap that my car just fits through.
Come on in. You've never been here before, have you?
Never.
So what did you think when you drove across the moat?
Robert Kelly's historian at Fort Monroe, the largest stone fort in America. Inside is a maze of rooms separated by stone arches. Now it's used as a museum.
The arches are a little short. They get even shorter as we go.
We arrive at a small model of what they think the first fort built here looked like. It's a cabin surrounded by cannons and a fence. The Jamestown settlers built it in 1609. There was the constant threat of attack by sea from the Spanish.
This would serve as a lookout and allow the colonists up at Jamestown, 40 miles up the river, to know, hey, somebody, you know, a potential enemy's coming into the Chesapeake Bay, and, you know, we need to prepare.
That first fort had burned down by the time a ship called the White Lion arrived carrying 20 African slaves. They were traded for food and supplies, even though there were no written laws governing slavery at the time.
John Rolfe, who was the secretary of the colony, he records this event.
John Rolfe was Pocahontas' husband. He noted the date as August 1619. We climb up to an overlook on top of the fort. An American flag snaps in the wind.
When you look out on the horizon, you can see why there's a fort here.
We're looking down at an expansive natural harbor where the Atlantic Ocean meets the Chesapeake Bay and the James River. In front of us, across the water, are three aircraft carriers and Norfolk Naval Station, the largest naval port in the world.
The 1619 state marker is actually, it's so bright you can barely see, but it's a state marker right down there along the seawall.
It's a white sign with black letters that says this is where the first enslaved Africans arrived. It went up in the 1990s. Before that, Calvin Pearson says, no one knew the real history. Pearson grew up in Hampton, the city that's home to Fort Monroe.
People ask me, why is the landing so important? And I tell them that to me, it's like your birth. You can only be born one time. Nobody can change that fact to fit their propaganda or marketing or promotion or tourism needs.
Pearson's talking about historic Jamestown, an attraction with colonial archaeological sites and reconstructed buildings. He says people thought it was the arrival site. So Pearson founded a group called Project 1619. It's been working for more than two decades to raise awareness that the first Africans arrived at Point Comfort.
We knew eventually the 400th anniversary would come. It was important to us to start this movement 25 years ago, because if we had not, the story we are telling today, the commemoration that Virginia is starting to promote, would have taken place at Jamestown.
They certainly arrived at Point Comfort. We have John Rolfe's source for that. But there's no mention in the sources that the Africans actually landed there.
James Horn is president of Jamestown Rediscovery, the foundation that runs historic Jamestown. He thinks the Africans were probably kept on the ship at Point Comfort so they wouldn't have a chance to escape. Horn says it's likely buyers rowed out to the ship to barter on board, then returned with the slaves to Jamestown. The next census shows several living there, along with Africans from the White Lion's sister ship, the Treasurer.
We have at Jamestown, without any question, a site where one of those first Africans, Angela, lived. And I think that, without taking anything away from Point Comfort or Hampton in terms of that's where the ships stopped en route, what's significant to me is we might learn more about the African experience by looking at the actual places they did live rather than simply at a place where two ships arrived.
There are a lot of archival records that no one's gone through yet. Right now, no one can say they know for sure where exactly the first enslaved Africans set foot in what today is the U.S. Wherever it was, Robert Kelly, the Fort Monroe historian, says there would be a nice poetic symmetry if it happened at Point Comfort because of the other big role this place played in history.
On the same site where slavery begins, we see it in America. We see it begin to unravel.
Kelly's talking about the Civil War. Fort Monroe stayed in the Union, even though Virginia had seceded, and the fort was south of the capital of the Confederacy, Richmond, 100 miles northwest. Things were tense.
This is May of 1861.
Three enslaved men stole a boat just across the water in Confederacy-controlled country and paddled nearly 3 miles to Fort Monroe, where they asked for safe haven. It was the second day on the job for Major General Benjamin Butler. He was faced with a decision that at that point even President Lincoln had avoided making, whether the North should stand for freedom for slaves.
Butler interviews each one of the men and has to decide what to do when a representative for their owner, actually a Confederate, appears here the following day.
Butler tells the owner that since the enslaved men had been digging ditches for the Confederacy,
therefore, because they're being used against me in an act of war, I'm going to seize this property as contraband.
And with that decision, Fort Monroe became a sanctuary African Americans in the South knew they could flee to for safety. 10,000 came and set up camp. Life was far from perfect, but they built the foundation for a community that remains today. They called Fort Monroe Freedom's Fortress.
And then, you know, Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy after the Civil War, he's imprisoned here. You know, he's imprisoned in that cell right there.
Davis was held here for a year and a half. Then he was released on a $100,000 bail. He was never brought to trial. Fort Monroe continued on as an army base. In 2005, it was slated for closure until Barack Obama, urged by groups like Calvin Pearson's, designated it a national monument. Obama didn't visit then. The fort's director of communications, Phyllis Terrell, hopes he'll come this August when they open a new visitor center with a big exhibit about the Africans' arrival. Terrell's a descendant of Virginian slaves.
Well, I didn't know about the arrival here at Point Comfort. I got the bias of the arrival at Jamestown and was bought into that line.
On a hill overlooking the sign proclaiming the first African's arrival, we come upon an elegant black wrought iron arch with a name on it, a name that takes me by surprise.
Jefferson Davis Memorial Park?
Yes. You know, this was erected in the 50s. By the United Daughters of the Confederacy. We had the internal conversations about, okay, what do we do with this artwork here?
They've kept it up because it's history too, Terrell says, and people can learn from it. There are plans in the works for a memorial for the first Africans, but there's much less to learn about them from written history. Their lives affected millions of people who exist today, but back then, they didn't warrant a mention. For the world, Rupa Shenoy, Fort Monroe.